Turn to Psalm 119. We're going to talk again about the wonderful Word of God. Amen? Stand if you're able to, physically. And we're going to read together these eight verses, verses 9 through 16, of Psalm 119. We are moving on, okay? We're on the second letter of the alphabet. Everybody excited? All right, good deal. Here we go, Psalm 119, we're going to read them all together, verses 9 through 16, beginning, of course, in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. As much as is in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, tonight, folks, we're going to continue to study the wonderful Word of God. If I can't accomplish anything else, I would love to accomplish restoring the wonder of the Word of God and the things of God to the people of God. If we would just learn to just be full of wonder and awe and amazement at our God and His Word, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. And we need to regain the wonder of this book. We're going to continue looking at this passage of Scripture. Go along and make sure you go back and look at the different definitions we studied. The definitions of things like the law of the Lord. The definition of His testimonies and His ways and precepts and statutes. And commandments, judgments, these things are words that describe the Word of God. Okay? They all had a slightly different meaning or accent, if you will, about how the Word of God is presented to us. Okay? Now, we're not going to go over those every time, all right? Because these words are the words that are used throughout this psalm as we study. So now as we go on past the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, we're going to the second letter. We're going to look at some of the attributes of these things, these different words, these different aspects of the Word of God, and how they apply to our life. Okay? To our life. How many of you like things that apply to you? Right? Yeah. Because sometimes you hear preaching or you hear teaching or go to a seminar, and you're like, oh, I can't do that, or that's not for me. You know, that doesn't help me in my situation. Well, let me tell you something. These things will help anyone in any situation. And they do and can and should be applied to you and to your life. Now, first of all, look at verse 9. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a good question. Right? Great question. I think all young men ought to be clean. Amen? No, wait a minute. It's not a hygiene message. Okay. No. But, you know, we have three stinky boys. We understand that's how it works, right? So take a shower, right? Cleanse your ways. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about living a holy life. And it doesn't just pertain to young men, ladies. Don't just ignore me here. Okay? This is for everyone. How can we live a clean life? You say, why does that matter? Because we live in a dirty world. We live in a dirty world. We walk in a dirty world. Right? I'm not into this thing of today. Some religions, they do this foot washing thing and all that stuff. Okay, listen. That was a sign. That was a picture of something. Okay? But it was a practice they did. Because everything was dirt back then, and they wore sandals, all right, and their feet got dirty. All right, everybody understand? Okay, I got socks and shoes on. All right, my feet don't get that dirty, so I don't need to wash them all the time. I wash them once a day and everything like that. But you understand what I'm talking about, okay? When I go in the house, I don't take my shoes off and wash my feet. Okay, now, but we need to cleanse our ways. We walk around in a dirty world. We need to be cleansed. Listen, if you're going to walk around in a place that's dirty, you're going to get some dirt on you. We've got to stay clean. God wants His people to be cleansed, to be clean. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Okay, God wants His people to be clean. How do we get clean? Get close to God. Yeah, get close to God. Hey, you know what getting close to God does? It shows us how dirty we are. You ever notice that? Remember, God is what? Light. He's the light. And as you get closer to the light, what can you see? Yeah, you can see the dirt. That's right. And you know what? As we get closer to God, it's going to shine some things, some light on things in our lives that we need to get cleansed. We need to get cleaned. God wants His people to be clean. So first of all, tonight we're going to talk about the purifying Word of God. Because I'm going to answer the question that the psalmist asked by what the psalmist says. By taking heed thereto, according to Thy Word. How do we get clean? Listen to God's Word. How do we get clean? Obey God's Word. That's how we get clean. We get close to God, we get close to His Word, and we get clean. I told you before that my wife has this written in her Bible from her parents. It says, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And it's true. Closer you get to the Word of God, the cleaner you're going to be. Why? Because it's a cleansing agent. It cleans us. It washes us. Oh, you've heard that, haven't you? You see, God says that we need to have that washing by the water of the Word. It says in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." Clean church, right? Doesn't mean vacuumed floors and dusted pews. It means a cleansed church by the washing of the water of the Word. And it produces a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Listen, folks, this book here will wash you clean. It's better than ivory soap. Okay? Better than Irish Spring, right? Okay? Yeah. Get this thing all over you. Wash behind your ears. Right? Between your toes. It's a good book. It'll clean you up. God says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word." It's a purifying word. It's a word that cleans up the Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Bible says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Hey, this book cleans us up. And that reverential respect that we have of God drives us to be clean. It does. How many of you want to stand before God dirty? How many of you want to say, God to look at you and say, "Hey, you missed a spot behind your ears there. Or let me show me your hands. Oh, didn't get under your fingernails." Huh? Come on, moms. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Hey, listen. It amazed me. When I was in the military, it amazed me how those guys could find the dirt they found. You know, when you did inspections, things like that in the barracks. I mean, we cleaned from top to bottom. Everything was in right order and perfect. And they come through with their white glove, right? And every time they'd find something, it just blew me away. I'm like, how? I think they kept the pocket, a little container of dust in their pocket, and they just wiped the glove on it. You know, oh, look at there. I'm convinced they did something like that, some kind of trick. But listen, no tricks with God. He's going to find the dirt. We need to get clean by taking heed to the word of God, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. This flesh is dirty. Don't live in the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Because we'll not be able to fulfill the things of the Spirit if we do so. Go to Matthew 23. I love this passage of Scripture. It really, really sets off what we're trying to say tonight with this question and answer. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? In Matthew 23, look at verse 25. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Hey, listen, folks, I'm trying to say tonight, purity comes from within. God wants us to be cleansed from the inside out. Hey, listen, I am for looking like a Christian. That's great. And Jesus wasn't saying that they shouldn't look good on the outside. He wasn't saying that they shouldn't look righteous and be righteous or act righteous. He was saying that it wasn't real. It was only on the outside. It's only on the outside. Hey, if I gave you a cup, a glass, right? And it was, I have a glass up here. If I gave you this cup and on the outside it was all clean and washed and nice. But on the inside was some dirt, a couple spider webs, maybe some mold growing in there, right? You wouldn't want to use it. Would you? Oh, I said, but hey, it's clean. Looks clean. Doesn't it look clean? Looks nice. Not on the inside. That's how it is many times with Christians. That's how it is in our lives, because we're all cleaned up or gussied up, if you will. That's a good southern term, isn't it? On the outside, but the inside is dead men's bones. And the inside is evil, this extortion and excess. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. Be pure through and through. How do we get pure through and through? Get the word of God in us. By that washing of the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Well, let's see. I think James said something about being a hearer and a doer, didn't he? Don't just hear the word. Do it. Do it. That's how God knows you're sincere. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. When you take heed to something, that means you follow it. That means you accept it and you do it. And that's how we cleanse our ways. The word of God is a purifying word. Look at verse 10 with me and back in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 10. You might want to put a little marker there so we can flip back and forth as we go here. In verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know what we are as human beings? We're sheep. You know what sheep like to do? Wander. They just naturally wander around. You know why? Because sheep is dumb. Yeah, that means we is dumb. Okay? And yes, I'm speaking that way on purpose. Okay? Yeah, we are. Listen, I'm not calling us sheep. Jesus did. We're sheep. Sheep are dumb. If they get to a place of water where it's running, the water is flowing, they'll walk into the water. Their wool will become saturated. They'll drown. They're dumb. That's why it says, lead me beside the still waters. You see, sheep are dumb. They wander. What is it that keeps us from wandering? How about this? The constraining commandments of God. What did Jesus say? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. All right. Y'all for connecting dots, right? Everybody okay with connecting dots? All right. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Remember, we're going to try not to wander from God's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now stay with me. We're connecting some dots here, okay? Look at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. That goes back to the other one, remember? The purifying word, inside and outside. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Listen to this. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, do you see the dots? Are they showing up for you? Okay, let's stop here. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that love for the love of Christ constraineth us. It keeps us from wandering from God's commandments. It works together. Our love for him keeps us in his commandments. Because if we love him, we keep his commandments. In other words, there's that constraining factor that holds us and keeps us from wandering from God. The psalmist was concerned about wandering from God. He said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Does the love of Christ constrain you? Does the love of Christ keep you in the commandments of God where you should be? We ought not be out of them. If we get out of the shepherd's care, the wandering sheep could perish, could get sucked into the stream and drown, could get eaten by wolves seeking and lions seeking whom they may devour. Outside the fold of the shepherd, there's danger. Outside the watch care of the shepherd, there's danger. We need to be constrained. We need to be kept from wandering from God. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them." Israel was being warned to stay constrained to the commandments of God. God wanted to exalt his nation Israel. He wanted to lift them up in the sight of the whole world for his honor and his glory. And he said, if you'll follow these commandments, if you'll not wander from the right hand to the left, and you'll stay here, I will bless you. I will keep you. You'll be where you need to be. And Christian, that's how it is for us. Listen, the only reason the grass is greener on the other side of the fence is because it's over the septic system. You don't want that grass. It's not better. The devil wants you to think it's better. You know, fences aren't a bad thing. They're not. You know, a farmer puts up a fence because he hates his cows, right? No. No, he loves those animals. Okay, he wants them to live. They're valuable to him. The fence is there to protect them, to constrain them, to keep them within a protected area. God wants us happy. The psalmist said, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." You know what? We're prone to wander, aren't we? The song says that. You know what? It's true. We need to stay focused on the commandments of God. In Joshua, I'm going to read two verses for you. One at the beginning of Joshua's ministry. One at the end of his ministry. Listen to what it says. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now, that was given to Joshua at the beginning of his leadership of the children of Israel. At the end, he's telling the people, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." You know, Joshua served the Lord faithfully. He did. Remember what he said? "Choose you this day whom you will serve," right? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Listen, Joshua stayed constrained to the commandments. He didn't turn from to the right hand or to the left. He stayed on the path that God had for him. I'd say overall, Joshua's life was a success. Did he have some bumps along the way? Yeah, he did. Did he make some bad choices? Yeah, he did. But we need to be like a Joshua and overcome those things by keeping the commandments of God. Now, look at verse, let's go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 11. You know this verse. You probably have it memorized. It's taught in probably every Sunday school class I've ever been in. Alright? Y'all want to say it with me? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Yeah. You know, it's something to hide God's word in your heart. Don't you love just going through your day and something sparks a thought and a Bible verse comes to mind? Isn't that a delight? It's a delight. It doesn't happen to me. What should? It should. If you'll hide God's word in your heart, it will. You know, we have the purifying word of God in verse 9, the constraining commandments of God in verse 10, and now we have the protective word of God in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Don't you love the protection of the word of God? Yeah. Hey, can this book be trusted? Absolutely. It's a perfect book. It's God's word. It's the mind of God. We can trust the word of God. And isn't there great solace and protection in that? Yes, there is. You know, God says that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of God, will guide us into all truth, doesn't it? Thy word is truth, the Bible says. You want a guide for life? You want truth? You want protection? It's in this book, the Word of God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We know Deuteronomy is given to the children of Israel. It's going over the law of God. Deuteronomy, and look at chapter 6. Now, I'm not going to read this whole chapter. I probably could, but I'm not going to for sake of time. But I want you to listen to some of the things that Moses tells the people about God's word. Look at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, now listen to this, and that thy days may be prolonged. Wow! Hey, how many of you, Ephesians 6, 1, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? Isn't that what it says, right? Honor thy mother and thy father, what? That it may be well with thee, and that thy days may be long on the earth. You want protection? Want a long life? Keep the commandments of God. Keep the word of God. It's a protective word. The word of God provides us protection. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Ooh, that's cool. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It's life. And he walks with me and he talks with me. Right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, Brother Combs, you're nuts. This book can't talk to you. Yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. And yes, I'm nuts. That's okay. I don't mind. Isn't that what he just said? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Wow. Wow. The Word of God is there to protect us, to keep us, to guide us, to lead us. God's Word is a protective Word. Go over to a New Testament example in the book of Revelation. How many of you would agree with me that the Church of Philadelphia was a good church? Anybody? Yeah, wonderful church. Good church. Look what John writes in Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. There's the protection. The protection of the Word of God. He says kept from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Philadelphia was a good church. Why were they a good church? Because they kept the Word of God. Yeah, it's a protective word. It's a protective word. It protects us. It keeps us. One more verse here about protection and keeping. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I want you to listen to what Moses says again to the people. Now therefore, hearken. Okay, remember what hearken means, right? Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. You know what? Sometimes it's not the taking away of the words or not keeping them. It's what we add to it sometimes. You know, we've got to be careful not to add or take away from the Word of God. Isn't this book enough? I mean, I've already told you that I really believe it's impossible for a human being to completely exhaust this book. I really believe that. I don't need to add anything to it. I certainly don't need to take anything away from it. But Moses was giving a warning. And the warning had to do with living. Had to do with living. He said, these things which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live. Live. We should want to live for God. And if we're living, we're protected, are we not? How do we live? By keeping the Word of God. By following the Word of God. By doing the Word of God. You see, this book is a wonderful book. Go back to Psalm 119. We're almost out of time. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. God wants us to live for him. God wants us to be protected. He'll protect us with his word. God wants us to be constrained. The love of Christ constraineth us. And if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. God wants us to be clean and pure, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, that we might be presented to him a glorious church. I just want to know, do you believe this is a wonderful book? These are just a few of the things that go with these verses. Just a few of the things that are amazing how these comments and these things work together to explain and to express what the psalmist has written to us about the wonderful Word of God.